Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. I have a very Christmassy Sam with me today to discuss her Game Week 17 draft. I feel very underdressed, I'm in kind of like grey and I feel a bit, you know, I don't know if you're watching Wednesday on Netflix.
I am.
It's good, isn't it? I feel a bit Wednesday.
Oh, I'm loving that.
I feel a bit Wednesday today, whereas you've gone a roommate style, colour everywhere.
It's December now, Az, come on, yeah, you've got to get in the Christmas spirit, stop being a Grinch, let's go.
I just had a loft pole up in the background before we started this stream. That's bad. I really am Wednesday at the moment. Yeah. Hi to everyone in the chat. Thank you for checking this out. We are continuing to do a bit of a hybrid of World Cup content. So Andy will be around tomorrow and Joe and Tom to discuss the unlimited transfers. But in and around that, we are adding in some FPL content into it. And where better to start than looking at some FPL drafts. How are you finding everything, Sam? How are you finding World Cup? Are you enjoying it?
I am, actually. Do you know, I was, when the World Cup was supposed to, you know, going to be in the winter, I was a bit like, not sure about this. Like, winter's for, you know, getting in front of the fire, watching a film or a new TV series and, like, you know, with a cup of hot chocolate. It's not really for football in a, like, a World Cup, is it? But actually, I'm really enjoying it. There's been some really good games. Yeah, it's been good, but I'm really enjoying tinkering with my FPL team, I've got to be honest. Like, I can't seem to leave it alone. I keep going back there, drawn into the FPL app, I am.
Yeah, I have been enjoying the World Cup, but I have to say last night was probably the first time that I've really, really got excited about a game. I know there's been the shocks like Saudi Arabia winning and that kind of thing, but you always sense Argentina were probably going to qualify and that game probably wouldn't mean too much. But, you know, last night with you know, at one point, you know, Poland were going through on yellow cards,
yeah.
And then it switches to the other game and straight away they scored and all the fouls. I mean, it was incredible scenes last night. And as we head into the knockouts, it's going to kind of get more and more excited. There's a cat, a Christmas cat.
There's a cat as well now. Christmas cat. I've got all sorts is going on here now today. He's going to stay, apparently.
Yeah, it's good you've been keeping your eye on Game Week 17, though. We're going to talk about your draft and talk about some of the players that are playing in the World Cup and how you're kind of shaping up. Before we do that, let's talk about TalkSport. If you've watched any of the videos so far, you'll see that TalkSport are sponsoring a lot of the stuff that we're doing at the moment. They've essentially set up these fan zones for different games across the World Cup, being held at Leake Street Arches in Waterloo. And you can grab a ticket for £10 and you get a beer with that as well, or a soft drink if you're not drinking. And today, for example, it's Croatia-Belgium, Canada-Morocco. And then later on this evening, it's Japan-Spain, Costa Rica-Germany. And then you've got the final kind of group stage matches, South Korea-Portugal, Ghana-Uruguay on Friday, and Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon, Brazil in the evening. And then it's on to the knockouts. So Netherlands, USA on Saturday. And of course, England will be playing on Sunday as well. Oh, here we go. So there's a link in the description. Do check them out if you're looking for a place to watch the football. Even if you, like me, some of my friends have just bailed on the plans that we had for Sunday. So something like this is a good idea.
Want to come to me?
That.
You can watch it with me if you want.
Yeah, I can't get a roast. It's like 7, isn't it?
That's all right. You can come earlier, come have on. A roast, yeah. Watch the football.
Might be a good option, actually, Sam. I might take you up on that. Yep. So if you're not interested in Fan Zone, let's all go to Sam's house to watch it. Or is that invite just for me?
I mean, everyone's welcome. It's not that big, though. So might be... bit squeezed.
Sam's address in the description.
How can you imagine?
Right, let's talk about game week 17 then. So I did my first foray into this the other day. It was interesting, actually. I was looking at the fixtures and looking at the double game week announcement and stuff like that. Let's start with the kind of defence that you've put together. So you've gone for what I think is going to be overwhelmingly the most popular goalkeeper combination. In Kepa and Ward, and then you've gone for Dalot, Trippier and Cancelo, which again I think is going to be really, really template as we go forward. It's really hard to look past Trippier. I don't think we need to spend too much time talking about him. He's a top scoring FPL defender. Newcastle got good fixtures. He's playing well at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Everything looks good. But let's talk about Kepa and Ward's. It just makes sense, doesn't it?
It does, and I think particularly with the Chelsea double game week in game week 19, it makes a lot of sense to have Kepa in there. Obviously, I'm going to keep an eye on the flag, make sure that he's going to be fit and ready to go for game week 17. But I think if he is, I mean, there is the option, and I did do another draft where instead of having Kepa there, I had Everson, and I had the Leicester air and spare on the basis that then that would allow me to upgrade one of my other defenders and have Reece James instead. So still cover out the Chelsea defence. And that is something that I am looking at because Creswell could easily be Reece James.
Is he going to be fit for the start?
Well, again, so it's another one, isn't it? So the Kepa and Reece James thing. And this is one of the reasons I'm enjoying the price freezes is that I can just afford to just wait, see who's fit, listen for news from Potter when we start to get some kind of more word and when we start to see the teams starting to play, because a lot of them are going to have matches, obviously, in the build-up to game week 17. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on Reece James. There's also Chilwell as well that's got the potential there. So I'm going to be keeping close ears on what Potter's got to say about these three defensive options in Kepa, Chilwell and James, because I do think I want in on the Chelsea defence. Fixtures are nice. There is a double game week in there. The double game week does include a difficult game against Manchester City. And so I don't see a clean sheet in that one, which a little bit puts me off Kepa, because really his only route to points is through the clean sheets. Whereas if you go with one of those wing back options at Chelsea, then you do obviously have the attacking threat that they bring as well. So I'm still a little bit here and there on it, but I do like the value that you get from having the Ward Kepa double up. It's two teams, potential to play the fixtures, and you know, both first choice goalkeepers.
Close ears, is that a saying?
Close ears, yeah, why not? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Just not heard that.
What else would you? What other kind of ears would you have?
Keen ear. I don't know.
Close eye. I don't know.
No, me neither. Anyway.
Well, you know what I mean. Anyway.
I do know what you mean. Yeah. So would you consider the double up then? Would you consider a Kepa and James and Chilwell, or Chilwell? Sorry, double up, or would you probably just go for one?
I think I'd just go for one. I don't really like defensive double ups usually, because if the clean sheet goes, which, you know, and Chelsea have not been solid at all defensively this season. And if the clean sheet goes, then you get that kind of, oh, I'm in the, you know, I'm down in the doldrums, aren't you, really? Because you've lost those 6 potential points. I don't know. Look, I think for me, the Chelsea double up defensively wouldn't be something that I'd want to do. Arsenal defensively, I'd think about doubling up on them, because they've got the same as Chelsea. There's a double game week in there. Again, it's got a tough fixture in as part of their double game week, but they've kept a lot of clean sheets. I think they've got 4 in the last 5, so there's more potential there to double up, particularly when you look at players like Brett Ben White, who's really nice and cheap, and you can couple him up with a Gabriel or a Saliba, who are a little bit more expensive, or Ramsdale if you want to go with the goalkeeper option, because you've got that budget for anyone in White. I think you've got more potential there for the double up. But at Chelsea, I think you go with one, because I don't see that many clean sheets for them. Even in the nice fixtures, I still think they'll concede.
Yep. I mean, Chelsea haven't been keeping clean sheets. They've been struggling. No. There's probably going to be a lot of rotation as well with their players coming back at various times. And yeah, Potter's going to have a difficult job, I think, especially with, you know, players like Pulisic and Ziyech playing well in the tournament as well. It's going to give him a few more selection, you know, decisions. to make. I mean, another team that hasn't been doing that well defensively is Manchester United. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Dalot in a lot of sides. We're seeing Shaw creeping into a lot of sides, obviously having a really good Euros for them as well. It's another kind of fixtures over form, isn't it? And in that kind of back line. I mean, Dalot's attacking numbers are really poor. So are Shaw's for United. But when you look at the fixtures for Man U, Nottingham Forest at home straight away, then Wolves, then Bournemouth, it doesn't get much better, does it, than those three?
No, it doesn't. And what I like about this squad is that there's five defenders that I would happily play. So on the weeks where, you know, if Manchester United come back and they don't perform defensively solidly in those first couple of game weeks, Dalot's easily movable to the bench and I can play Creswell or, you know, there's plenty of flexibility in that back line. There isn't a kind of a non-playing or there isn't, you know, in the past this season, I've had Nico Williams in that fifth defender spot. Well, I don't have to have that with this draft the way that it is at the moment. I mean, you can still go there, of course, or you go Patterson at Everton in that fifth spot. But I think that you have a lot of scope and flexibility with these unlimited transfers to give yourself five good defenders, but with three of them being at really, really budget-friendly prices. So you can invest in the bigger teams that have got the nicer fixtures, but if they don't perform, it's easy enough to swap them out. I think that's the way I'm looking at it with Dalot. Yes, he hasn't got that many clean sheets so far. Yes, the attacking threat hasn't quite been there yet, but they do seem to be getting better under Ten Hag. And with Ronaldo now leaving the club, I wonder whether there might be just a better atmosphere, you know, whether that situation having been dealt with now maybe just kind of clears the air for a fresh start at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will. I think that's got to be a cloud. You know, when the team's doing well and performing and you've got a player so highly regarded in the dressing room, not joining him with celebrations, not happy with how things are going. I think you're right. I think it is going to be a bit of a lift for everyone. Because I don't think he's just not a Ten Hag player. But what do you do with someone who's earning that much money, has that much of an influence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's tricky. So it's that decision being made for him is probably going to help them. Looking at midfield, I mean, there is a notable name missing from your midfield, a player that you've been threatening to sell for ages. I don't know if you ended the first half of the season with him or without him, but no Salah for you. You've gone Almiron, you've gone Kulusevski, you've gone Martinelli, and you've gone Foden. So yeah, no Salah.
Haven't had Salah now for a while. Game week 6, 7, whenever we all sold him originally. Haven't had him since, didn't bring him back for the last couple of game weeks either. It's tough because for me, the priority was Kane and Haaland up top. They're the two highest scoring players in the game. Fixtures are nice. Both have got double game weeks in the new year. Even with Kane going, hopefully, a long way in the World Cup, he'll still get flogged by Conte when he gets back. Like, he's still going to start for Spurs week after week. I can't see much of a time where he doesn't, particularly, you know, when you consider that we've got, you know, Son with his mask. He wasn't great in the World Cup so far anyway. And I don't think they're going to progress. So he'll be home early. You've got Kulusevski, but Richarlison obviously staying out probably too. So it's tough. I think Kane plays. And so they were my priority. And then it was looking at how do I build the rest of the squad? And would I like Salah in there? Yeah. Like I haven't been that impressed with Salah so far this year. I worry quite a lot about this Liverpool team and what they might look like, because we're due Jota and Luis Diaz back over the next few weeks in the build-up to game week 17. They're supposed to be available for that match. And then you've got Darwin. So when you add these guys, plus Firmino, plus Salah, there's a lot of players for three positions on the pitch. Now, I think Salah is pretty much ever-present in that team. I don't see him getting rotated much. So that's one less issue to contend with him. But for nearly 13 million, I don't think we're seeing enough from Salah so far this season to make me justify spending that level of price on him, particularly when I look across at Darwin, who is performing better in terms of FPL returns and is significantly cheaper. So I made my Liverpool decisions on that basis. There was still a big part of me, if Luis Diaz is fit, that will be really tempted to go back there, because he was brilliant for me in the early part of the season.
It's just that rest, isn't it? It's the rest for Salah, having no World Cup action at all, and Darwin off with Uruguay. I mean, Uruguay are in trouble
they are.
In that group, but they will be hopeful of getting a result against Ghana and winning that game to go through. But, you know, Ghana have got 3 points themselves and, you know, are in a good position given they're the lowest ranked team in the tournament. So really interesting game that to see what happens. Because if Uruguay do go out, then I think that does make Nunes probably as attractive an option as Salah, given that he's going to have a 3 week break. But if Uruguay do progress and, you know, then they get through the net and it goes on and on and on, I think every game that Uruguay stay in the tournament, Salah becomes more and more attractive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's the budget for me. I just don't think he's worth nearly 13 million. He's not shown anywhere near that price point in terms of, you know, when you look at what's going on around him in terms of the price that he is versus, you know, even Haaland, like he's more expensive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I think that there are other options at Liverpool that aren't Salah. I agree with you on Darwin. I think if he stays in the tournament for a long time, but then you've obviously got Firmino, who hasn't travelled with Brazil and could easily come in. Like, it could be that I do a little bit of a hokey-cokey with Liverpool forwards and have Firmino to start if Nunes goes a long way in the competition, and then swap them for each other come January when Nunes is back. Because let's be honest, Nunes is going to be, I would have thought, more preferred than Firmino longer term, if you look at it over the course of the season as a whole. Might I regret not having Salah in here? Yes, maybe. Like, he is going to return points. I don't for one minute think that Salah's going to get no points. And I don't for a second think that not having him won't hurt at points. But I look at where the priorities for me are in terms of this squad that I'm building and hitting the double game week players, as well as, you know, playing the fixtures, and I think I can do that by having Darwin over Salah.
Yeah, I mean, we have four viable premiums, don't we, to start Game Week 70 with, in Haaland, Kane, Salah and De Bruyne. Yeah. De Bruyne particularly, if Belgium do get eliminated, he's going to be really, really attractive. I mean, some of the safer picks you've gone for, I mean, you've gone for Almiron. Obviously Paraguay aren't in the World Cup, so he's having a nice break, being the man in form. Kulusevski as well, I was talking about him on my team selection, really like that pick. Sweden obviously not in the World Cup, but he's had that injury and he can now kind of fully recover from that. And you look at all the other players in that Spurs lineup. You look at Kane, they're going far with England. You look at Son, he's got the face mask playing with the World Cup. You look at Richarlison starting up front for Brazil. Kulusevski is the one that is the most likely, I think, to play across those three games when the season restarts. And then the opposite of that, you've got players at the World Cup. You've got Martinelli. He's starting tonight for Brazil. Hasn't really been featuring too much. He looks like he's part of their B side. Obviously, you've got value tied up in him, a lot of people. And then you've got Foden as your Man City attacker of choice. Now, is there any worries about him, given that we've seen him benched a couple of times by Pep already, and England might be getting into the later stages of the World Cup?
Massively. Foden for me is the one that I'm really not set on at all. Of this whole squad, his spot is the one that is completely up for grabs. There are so many other options that I like the look of as well in that sort of price point. Saka isn't in my team at the moment and has been. Previously, I had the double up of Saka and Martinelli. I still really like Saka as a pick, and obviously Arsenal's fixtures are nice. The thing for me with Manchester City and why I've kind of kept Foden at the moment is that their January to March looks absolutely ridiculous. Like, feasibly, if they stay in every competition, they will play midweek and weekend every single week throughout January and February and into March. Now, there is absolutely no way that Pep won't be a full throttle rotation. There's going to be players missing out left, right and centre because, you know, if like Man City have got Chelsea in the FA Cup third round, if that ends in a draw and they need a replay, then the double game week in game week 20 is going to get cancelled. Yep. So then they lose the double game week against Spurs, they play a replay there and then you have to fit that in somewhere else. At the moment, I feel like I don't have enough information about Foden to know whether I want to sell him or not, which is why I've left him there. Like, I want to see where England get to in the competition. And then I want to have some time to just think about my investment in Man City. I think having two is probably going to be the way I go. I'm probably just going to have Haaland and Cancelo, and I'll use that Foden spot to invest in another team, whether that's going with a Chelsea midfielder potentially, but I've not seen a lot out of them, but there's a double game week to consider. Or whether that's, you know, picking out one of the teams, like I've already mentioned Luis Diaz. He's high on my priority list if fit and available for game week 17, because, you know, hasn't been at the World Cup, will be involved in Klopp's preparation for game week 17. And then you've obviously got the players that aren't there at Liverpool who may or may not therefore start in game week 17, depending upon when they get back. So there are a lot of options. Foden at the moment stays because I thought, and I still think that three Man City is a good idea, but with the amount of games they've got coming up from game week 17, right the way through until March, when the Champions League restarts, I'm very seriously considering just dropping down and having just the two.
I mean, it's Liverpool on the 20th of December, so before the Premier League season starts. That's when they play Liverpool in the Carabao Cup. And then it's Leeds-Everton, two really, really good-looking games, but really, really close together. So that's when you're going to be hopeful of getting your big points. Because then it's back-to-back games against Chelsea, game week 19, and then in the FA Cup. And then it's on to United away and Spurs in that potential.
And then they've got Spurs again. A couple of game week later, got a gap, and then again. So it's although on paper you go, oh, two Man City double game weeks, brilliant. But actually, they're really difficult. I mean, in their first of their double game weeks, they've got Spurs and the Manchester Derby, and Spurs have got Arsenal, the North London Derby, and City. So, you know, you immediately, as soon as you hear Man City in a double game week, you go, oh, I could, you know, that's perfect. I want to heavily invest. Then when you start digging down into the games and whether the players are likely to start, how tired they're going to be on the back of the World Cup, how much rotation, because look, Pep rotates, we all know that. When we get into January, with the level of fixtures and the speed that those fixtures come, he's going to have to rotate. There's going to be a rotation for Haaland. There has to be. He cannot play midweek, weekend for 3 months and not break something. It will be the same with players like Cancelo, right? You know, when you've got a big squad in the way that Pep has, and a great squad in the way that Pep has, when you've got Alvarez who can come in for Haaland every now and then, it's ideal, isn't it? So I think the less risk that I can take around my players come January will be really valuable. And therefore Foden, whilst in there at the moment, I don't think he will be when the unlimited window closes.
It's a really interesting one. I think we're going to see some punts on players like, I don't know, Bernardo Silva or Gundogan, or, you know, I think if Belgium get knocked out, I'm going to find it very, very hard to resist De Bruyne, I think, because you've got to think he's going to come in and play that 17, 18, both of those games, given that he's going to have a more extended rest than maybe some of the other players.
Yeah, and I do think that if Haaland doesn't start in a game, then you guarantee that KDB will, and vice versa. If KDB doesn't start, you would always, by having those two, you'd always have a really viable captaincy option from Manchester City. But it's the budget implications, isn't it? Because, you know, I am very set that I do not want to sell Harry Kane. I think with the form that he has been in, I want to keep him. And so by having him and Haaland, it does limit the amount of budget that I can spend elsewhere. Now, yes, I could go back to changing out that defence that I was talking about before. And rather than having five bigger good names, I could drop it down to have three, and then I can have Nico Williams and Patterson on the bench rather than having Creswell and White. That would save me quite a lot of money. But again, we're not saving enough budget to then upgrade. So that would be mean losing Kepa as well. Having Iverson in there, that would save another 0.6. But you're basically just stripping the money out, and it probably means rather than having a front three of Haaland, Kane and Nunes, having a front three of Haaland, Kane and then one of the much more cheap options, maybe Callum Wilson level budget. Mm. And then in doing that, you lose the potential to cover the Liverpool attack, because if I'm getting KDB, I can't get Salah. And if I'm not having Nunes, then I probably want to have Salah. So there's all of these real question marks. And I think if you're happy to go without Kane, it's doable. All of this is doable. You have Haaland and KDB. But for me, I want to keep Harry in my team, and therefore I need to really consider where I'm spending the rest of that budget. But, you know, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, all of those feel like nice options at City, because if they are benched, it doesn't feel quite as painful somehow as when Foden does.
Yeah,
like, no. I think it's the budget
you kind of expect
stuff.
It, right? Yeah. And also the deadlines are so quick to turn around that you've got to think if Gundogan misses Leeds, he's going to play Everton, for example, or something like that. So you're just...
Whereas I'm not sure you can say that about Foden anymore after the three mentions in a row.
I know, exactly.
I would think, if he doesn't play in the Leeds game, then he's definitely getting the Leicester one. But I don't think that that's the case anymore.
No. Your three forwards are Haaland, Kane and Darwin. I think we've covered off those. The only real things your players you're missing really is a United attacker. No Martial, no Rashford. Anthony Fernandez is having a good World Cup, and like we've talked about, there is really, really good fixtures for them. Are they on your radar at all?
Yeah, Anthony falls in the Foden bracket, I think. You know, there's a few players in there. There's Saka, there's Luis Diaz, there's Anthony. They are the three that for me are kind of that call out for that spot over Foden. Like that's his competition, and I think all of them are probably better options than Foden, to be honest. There is a big part of me that kind of goes, well, if I was prepared to have, you know, Richarlison over Kane, then you could afford to have these bigger hitters. And if Richarlison keeps playing the way that he is for Brazil in the World Cup, then it's definitely an option. But you don't, I don't know, I'm quite set on that front three, I think.
That would stress me out, going for Richarlison.
Oh. Well, I think it would me as well. I mean, and I am quite set on that front three. Like I've played for nearly all of this season with a really heavy front three in Kane, Jesus and Haaland. So it's just a switch for a bit more budget up there with Nunes rather than Jesus. But it does mean that I do feel like a lot of the time I miss out on that kind of mid to lower price forwards, like the likes of Mitrovic, who's got a double
Wilson.
Game week. Yeah, Mitrovic has got a double game week in game week 19. I've not had Callum Wilson yet. Like all of these players, I'd love to have five forwards. Like that's what I'd actually really like, is to be able to have some more forwards.
How the season's changed, eh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always been one for not investing so much in the back and putting more up top. Like I always hate having a non-playing forward. So I've always tried to have that. But this year I'm really heavily invested in the premiums, and it's worked out quite well. You know, those guys have been performing where other parts of my team haven't. And I'm very keen to keep that going through this second part of the season, particularly until I decide to use my second wild card anyway. But through January, definitely, I want to keep that premium forward line. So it does mean probably missing out on some of those cheaper forward options, but then I hope that by having players like Pereira, I might be able to, you know, deal with the Mitrovic not having Mitrovic issue. I mean, I do look at the squad though and wonder who on earth I'm going to bench every week, because there are 15 players that I would happily play week upon week, and I can see my bench points just
is it an issue
up.
Though I mean, it's like we always say, it's better to have points on the bench and be getting value from your players and having the options, you know, especially when there's rotation, rotation, but we're ever going to see again, probably after, given that a lot of these players are going to be coming back from tournaments.
Massively.
So,
and you know, when you look at, you know, I keep talking about Man City, but you know, they could have 9 fixtures in January in comparison to teams like Aston Villa who are going to have 5. So you do need to kind of carefully consider how much, if you're going to have multiple Man City players, then you need the bench that's going to cover out the fact that they're going to get rotated. So that's why I'm keen to have 15 really good players who I'd be happy to play, rather than 13 who I'm happy to play and 2 who I really don't want to come off the bench ever, because I think I'm going to need my bench in January. I think we all are.
Yep. Agree. Excellent stuff. So that's your team. As I said, we'll be doing more of these over the coming weeks. I'll rope in some more people to show me their drafts. I imagine something similar to what you've got and what I've got is going to be pretty template, I think. But again, the landscape of that can change dramatically based on what teams go out. I think, as I say, if Belgium go out, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more De Bruyne's. entering into people's thinking. Before we finish, I just want to end on a bit of a somber note. There was some really sad news in the community on Twitter today about FPL Bandit, you know, from his wife, FPL Amy. I was, yeah, genuinely really, really sad to see that. And I just urge anyone who's struggling at the moment, because times are hard, we're entering into the Christmas period where obviously there's a lot of joy and happiness, but also there's a lot of pressure that comes with it and a lot of financial pressure for a lot of people, particularly given the current climate. So Samaritans are there. Number is 116123. You're not alone. You know, you can reach out to friends, family, reach out to them. If you're struggling, there's always people around that can listen. You can hit me up in the DMs as well on Twitter. I'm always happy to listen and chat about things as someone who's gone through some anxiety recently myself. But yeah, really, really, really sad news. And, you know, FPL Amy, again, I hope you're, well, not okay, but dealing with it as best you
Massive
can.
Massive love, Amy.
Yep. Excellent. Sam, I will speak to you very soon. Good luck with your Game Week 17 tinkering. Enjoy the World Cup matches today, and I don't know when we'll be back, but we'll be back at some point soon to do another stream.
We'll be together again, causing mischief and mayhem.
Yeah, that's what Christmas is all about.